This influenza podcast series was recorded between July and December 2022, reflecting guidance for the 2022 to 2023 flu season. The general principles will still be relevant, but for exact information reflecting the latest guidance for 2023 to 2024, please go to the influenza e-learning modules on the RCGP e-learning site.
Welcome to this RCGP podcast on the influenza vaccination in pregnant women. I am Dirk Pilat. I'm a GP and medical director for professional development at the RCGP. Today, I'm interviewing my friend, Dr. George Cassianos. George is the national immunization lead for the RCGP, a position which he has now held since 1996. He's also the president of the British Global and Travel Health Association. And he also works a lot with Europe, where he's a board member of the European Scientific Working Group on Influenza and also chairs a pan-European group of experts in influenza of over 20 countries. It's always lovely to have him on the podcast. Welcome, George. Are you well?
Thank you very much, Dirk. Yes, I am well. And always a pleasure to be with you.
George, you told me today while we had a chat earlier that last year the uptake of flu vaccination for pregnant women has been quite low.
Indeed, it has been low. Last influenza season, that is 2021-22, the vaccination rate for pregnant women in England was 37.9%. And that is actually down from 43.6% the season before that. The highest level we ever achieved in recent years is the 2017-18 season, when we vaccinated 47.2% of our pregnant patients. Again, nowhere near 100% that we should be aiming for in order to prevent such an important infection in pregnancy.
You say we want to avoid such an important infection in pregnancy. How important is the influenza vaccination for pregnant women, actually? What are the problems that pregnant women might encounter when having influenza while being pregnant?
Well, it is a fact that pregnancy alters how the body handles infection, such as influenza. Changes to the immune system, the heart and the lungs during pregnancy make pregnant women more susceptible to influenza, severe enough to cause hospitalization throughout pregnancy and up to 2 weeks postpartum. Influenza infection increases the risk of pregnant women and their babies having more severe illness, but also needing intensive care. Pregnant women benefit from the flu vaccine because it can reduce the risk of serious complications such as pneumonia, particularly in the later stages of pregnancy. It can reduce the risk of miscarriage, stillbirth, or premature birth. It helps protect their baby, who will continue to have some immunity to flu during the first few months of their life, and also reduces the chance of the mother passing infection to their new baby.
Sounds really like this is a group of patients we really should focus our attention to. And it's sad to hear that last year didn't work out as well as we would have hoped.
Indeed.
For our patients who are planning to get pregnant, what vaccination should we recommend to them?
It is not often that we see a female patient that asks us for advice on what vaccinations she should have before trying to fall pregnant. Our patient's aim and our aim is to ensure protection against vaccine-preventable disease. For this reason, in an ideal world, we should know the immunological status of a woman planning to fall pregnant as regards to hepatitis B, measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella. Over 90% of the population in the UK have antibodies against varicella because we allow our children to get chickenpox when there are two excellent live vaccines that can prevent it. Now, in the UK, if a pregnant woman comes in contact and has no history of chickenpox, we test for varicella zoster antibodies before giving them the immunoglobulin. The MMR, as a course of two vaccines should be completed at least 1 month before falling pregnant. Check whether the hepatitis B vaccination is also appropriate to give. In the case where a young woman is contemplating pregnancy, we should check her vaccination status for HPV, meningitis, and offer vaccination. That's a young woman. In a number of countries, they also actually check for meningitis B status. We should definitely check for men B status if our patient who is contemplating pregnancy suffers from splenic dysfunction, asplenia, or complement disorders. If the prospective mother has a chronic disease that qualifies her, she should also receive the pneumococcal polysaccharide PPV23 vaccine. And of course, the COVID-19 vaccine should be offered, and if during the season, the influenza vaccine too.
Well, that's definitely a list to remember. But once a woman is pregnant and she comes to us and wants some advice, what vaccine should we offer them then?
Well, the aim here of vaccination during pregnancy is to protect the mother and the fetus, as well as the newborn baby. The COVID vaccine in the form of messenger RNA vaccine is very important. During the flu season, a pregnant woman can be vaccinated against influenza with an inactivated flu vaccine at any stage of pregnancy. The transplacental antibody transfer is thought to be highest between the 20th and 32nd week of gestation. That is the best period we can ensure a pregnant woman is offered the pertussis-containing vaccine, which can also be given after the 32nd week, if not given earlier. But remember, Dirk, it takes 2 weeks for antibodies to be formed in the pregnant mother, and then the antibodies need to reach the fetus via the placenta. So the earlier we give this vaccine in relation to the actual label, the better. Pregnant women can receive rabies vaccine if required, such as for post-exposure prophylaxis, if they have gone abroad and they were bitten by a dog, cat, monkey, and so on. The yellow fever vaccine should not be given to a pregnant woman unless she's going to be at high risk, in which case advice from public health, such as Travax in Scotland or NAFNAC in England, that's the National Travel Health Network and Center, advice from them should be sought. The WHO advises that in areas where yellow fever is endemic or during outbreaks, the benefits of vaccination are likely to be far outweigh the risk of vaccine if travel is unavoidable. We have limited data available with regards to passive immunization. There is no known risk to the fetus from passive immunization of pregnant women with immunoglobulins when they are needed. Such in the case of measles, of hepatitis A, hepatitis B, rabies, varicella, or tetanus.
Those are a lot of vaccination we have to think about. But once the mother has delivered and is breastfeeding, does that exclude her from any vaccinations?
Breastfeeding mother can receive most vaccines. The first vaccines that come to mind are the COVID and influenza vaccines. The varicella and MMR vaccines can also be given if needed, but I need here to give you an observation as regards to the MMR. The rubella vaccine virus may be secreted in human breast milk and can be transmitted to breastfed infants. If an infant becomes infected, they have no symptoms or only mild symptoms. There is a very important precaution about the live yellow fever vaccine. If the breastfed baby is under the age of 9 months and the mother is traveling to an endemic area, expert advice from public health should be sought. There's another consideration during breastfeeding. Women who did not receive pertussis-containing vaccine during pregnancy can be offered this vaccine in the 2 months following the birth up until their child receives their first hexavalent vaccine. This protects the mother and may prevent her from becoming a source of infection for the infant. But, Dirk, it will not provide direct protection for the infant.
So let's come back to the two big viruses that we are concerned about this year. If a pregnant woman comes to us and is requesting COVID-19 vaccination, can we give influenza safely at the same time to pregnant women?
The short answer is yes. Both COVID-19 and inactivated influenza vaccines can safely be given simultaneously, ideally using a different deltoid. What's more, we can also administer the pertussis-containing vaccine together with these two vaccines. On the deltoid that receives two vaccines, we must separate them by 2.5 centimeters, that's 1 inch. One consideration our pregnant patients may have is whether the COVID vaccine is safe. And we get this question quite often from our pregnant patients. Most and the best evidence we have is from the studies done using the messenger RNA vaccines in well over 100,000 pregnant women in the United States. The UK's MHRA has reviewed COVID vaccination in pregnancy and has concluded that there are no specific concerns for safety in pregnancy. We use the messenger RNA vaccines in preference because they have most of the published evidence.
That's very reassuring. So, and now for the most important question of it all, what can we do as general practitioners to improve the vaccination rate of pregnant women? Because as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we have been struggling a bit with that, haven't we?
Not an easy question to answer, Dirk, I must say, because we want every pregnant woman vaccinated against influenza, but we only manage to vaccinate just under 4 in 10 pregnant women. So we need to improve flu vaccine acceptance. We need to provide pregnant women with information. The UK Health Security Agency, that's Public Health, is providing us with superb leaflets and posters specific for pregnant women. If a pregnant mother has any concerns, offer to meet to discuss them. Recommend to pregnant women reliable websites for information, such as the NHS website. We need to give them appointments for vaccination that suit them as regards to days and timing of the appointment. We must never miss making every contact with a pregnant woman count. Opportunistic vaccination is very important. For this, we need to liaise with our midwives and ensure their full cooperation. If they are not able to vaccinate our midwives, offer a nurse or a doctor to vaccinate the pregnant woman before she leaves the surgery. Make it clear to every pregnant woman that there are 3 places where she can get vaccinated: at her GP surgery, at the pharmacy if she's age 18 years and over, and also her maternity service provider. Practice managers play an important role here. They can do regular computer searches for unvaccinated pregnant women so that they can be called and recalled for vaccination against influenza and also COVID-19 and pertussis.
Thank you, George. I think that's our time up now. Thank you so much for answering my questions so clear and concise. Listeners, if you want more information about influenza and its management, pop over to the online learning environment of the RCGP. There's many more on the topic, and George had a look at them all, and he's giving his blessing. Thank you for listening. Please do tune in to other podcasts about flu. And if you find podcasts to be a useful way of learning, please look at the other RCGP podcasts on a broad variety of different subjects. George, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, and goodbye to all of you. Goodbye.